Show. Hi, we're recording our pre-show late because there was breaking news about Uber and Amit Singhal resigning, which we're going to talk about on the show, and that's crazy. And Veronica was getting ready to be judgy about phones.
Judge ye, no, judge not lest ye be judged. Well, that sounds great.
Oh, we're going to do it anyway.
All right, let me get the get this story up.
Any last thoughts before I go live?
I'm really hungry.
Okay. Veronica?
I'm good.
Okay. Going live.
Why is there so much static in my right ear? This is my headset.
It's probably the government.
Maybe. I've seen Naked Lunch. I know what happens. Actually, I don't. I've seen it 8 times and I start trying to figure out what happens.
We are live on the YouTubes.
Should have got a PB&J.
I had a PB&J Lara bar today.
Oh, I have a
whatchamacallit, but I feel that's a sinful act if I'm going to keep on my non-existent diet.
Yeah, it's not really a diet item, whatchamacallits.
What was that? That thing. That thing there.
Whatchamacallit.
Remember that one?
Yep.
Oh, come on.
Okie dokie. You guys ready?
Yes. All right.
Sure.
Hiding.
Here we go. Daily Tech News Show is powered by its audience. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, February 27th, 2017. I'm Tom Merritt. Joining me today is Veronica Belmont. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am so, so good. We had a weekend full of phone news. We're going to do something fun today, actually. There's a lot of Mobile World Congress news. A lot of it is specs. So rather than just sit here and say, that one has 4 gigabytes of DDR RAM for a half an hour, I'm going to read out the announcements in as efficient a way as I can so you get the sense of what they announced. And then Veronica and I are going to give them grades.
Okay.
Are you feeling?
Yeah. You know, yes. I don't
judgy?
Feel especially qualified to make these kinds of grading decisions.
That's the beauty of the internet. You don't have to be qualified to be judgy. You're a consumer. You use phones, right?
I use a phone. Yeah.
And that's who these things are targeted at. They're targeted at us. So, feel free to play along at home with your own grades. You can even send them in or put them in our Slack if you're in the analyst Slack. But before we do that, let's start off with the top 5 non-Mobile World Congress stories. And this just happened right before the show. Uber's Senior Vice President of Engineering, Amit Singhal, has been asked to resign by CEO Travis Kalanick. Recode reports that Uber discovered that Singhal had not informed them that he left Google after executives there informed him of an allegation of sexual harassment from an employee that an internal investigation had found credible. Now, Singhal denied the allegations of harassment, says there's no substance to them, they're false allegations, but did acknowledge there had been a dispute at Google. Recode says Google was prepared to fire Singhal, but he resigned before that could happen at the very beginning of 2016, went over to Uber. At the time, everybody thought it was just, you know, he decided to move on after a long career at Google. And it turns out that he sort of rushed out the door ahead of something.
Yes. And he did not, of course, let Uber know that. And with the situation they're going through right now, they deemed that to be an untenable circumstance and let him go.
Yeah, and he would certainly be considered a top performer. Whether he is the top performer that has previously been mentioned in Ms. Fowler's blog post, we don't know.
Yes, it seems unlikely that those two situations are connected, but just the they said in the article that they do not believe it to be the same situation, but just the culture there is definitely going through a shift, and something as troubling as that definitely had to have been on the surface initially.
And something they couldn't live with, you're right.
Exactly. Twitch will start selling video games this spring. Partnered streamers will get 5% of sales originating on their channel, with 70% going to the game publisher and the rest to Twitch. Customers who buy games get a Twitch crate with emotes, badges, and bits, the Twitch currency.
Ooh, take that, Valve. Twitch coming at you.
That's fascinating, too, and a really nice way for streamers to actually make some income off of the games they're talking about.
Yeah, there's no... Well, like League of Legends, none of the big streaming games are on board yet. But if they did, this could become a bit of a source of revenue. 5% isn't a huge amount, but it could become a source of revenue. It's also possible that it could lead to allegations that people are changing what games they're playing in order to sell the games, right?
That's very true. But at the same token, this has been a great way for indie developers to kind of have their games be, get some attention that they might not necessarily have gotten. So now both the streamers and the developers can kind of benefit to some effect for this content.
In an interview with the New York Times, Global Chief Executive for Sony Interactive, Andrew House, said the company has sold 950,000 PlayStation VR units as of February 19th. There's a lot of debate about whether the HTC Vive or the Oculus Rift are selling more units, but it turns out PlayStation VR may be selling more than both of them. Sony's internal goal was to sell 1 million units by mid-April. It's very close to that goal, but although it has been dealing with supply shortfalls, Sony expects those supply issues to be resolved by April, so it's probably going to hit that 1 million target, or at least get close. And they also announced PlayStation VR will go on sale in Latin America this autumn. So if you've been waiting for it in South America, Central America, you should have a chance to get it by the end of the year.
Not quick enough, unfortunately, to help those numbers, but still exciting for users down there.
That's a lot of VR helmets. Yeah.
Yes, it really is. Mozilla has acquired Pocket, the service that lets you save things to read or watch later. I'm a fan. Pocket started as a Firefox extension and has been Firefox's default read it later service since 2015. Pocket has approximately 10 million monthly active users and will continue to operate as an independent subsidiary.
So, do you have Pocket guilt? I have a little Pocket guilt. I save things to Pocket all the time.
You don't read them?
And then I don't go read them.
I'm a little bit bad with that, but I actually like finding them later, like when I'm really looking for something to read. I'm like, oh, I saved all this great stuff. But Ryan is religious about it. He reads his Pocket every week when he's at the gym on the, the elliptical machine or whatever it is he's using. He burns through all his Pocket stories then. That's like his habit.
Well, he is not alone, apparently, with 10. I didn't realize they had 10 million monthly active users. So this will be interesting, too, because what it looks like Mozilla wants to do is take that data and use it to improve the browsing experience. And they're talking a lot about verification of stories to say these are high quality stories because a lot of people are using them on Pocket. So,
I don't know if that's necessarily the best data point, but
Yeah. Line Pay, which is the Line messaging services mobile payment system, has passed 10 million registered users itself. That's a 280% growth, and the number of transactions on the platform has grown 13.8 times. And all that growth isn't necessarily in Japan, where Line is based. A lot of it's in Korea. And Line Pay added more than 400 merchants since its launch in Taiwan in August of 2015. Line is also promoting Line Pay heavily in Indonesia and Thailand. So a lot of people laughed at Line when they were making money on stickers, and then the sticker market sort of went south, and a lot of people were wondering, is Line going to be able to survive now? And it looks like they've figured out another way to monetize.
Cool.
To get all the tech headlines each day in less than 10 minutes, subscribe to DailyTechHeadlines.com. All right, here we go with our Mobile World Congress report card. We're going to move through these efficiently, like I said. If you want to keep just hearing what the announcements are, you definitely should be subscribing to DailyTechHeadlines.com. We had a special Sunday edition, and then Rich Straffolino had a version this morning that kind of extended that. So let's start with Nokia, though. Three smartphones, a 5.5-inch Nokia 6. They announced this for China back at CES. It's now going to be available worldwide for €229 and €299. A 5.2-inch Nokia 5, that's €189. And the Nokia 3 for €139. These are different variants in body quality. They're Android smartphones, decent cameras. They can be pre-ordered at Nokia.com/phones. They'll ship in Q2. But here's the big part, and it's not even the big part, but that should be the big part, right? HMD is bringing back these Nokia phones, but they're also bringing back the 3310 candy bar phone. It's going to run the Series 30 Plus OS with a 2.4-inch QVGA screen, 2-megapixel camera. It even gets a micro SD card slot and comes bundled with the Opera Mini browser. So even though it's not a smartphone, you can do a little browsing on it. And yes, you'll also be able to play Snake. Gonna cost you 49 euros. That's all in Q2. All right.
Oh my God, I love it.
Three Android smartphones, decent smartphones, but also the Nokia 3310. How do you grade this?
I'm going to give it a B+ just for the 3310.
Yeah, it really, honestly, the Nokia smartphones is sort of like, okay, these specs aren't knocking me out, but they seemed like decent phones. They're not getting me excited. I would give them a C on that. But then you come with the 3310. And on nostalgia alone, it's got to raise it to a B for me, too.
I kind of want it.
I mean, it's only 49 euros. Also, that's probably like 75 bucks. We don't know what it's going to be in the U.S. That's 75 bucks that I probably shouldn't waste.
On another phone?
On a phone, no, not smartphone, just purely for nostalgia. But it's tempting, right?
Yeah. I'm going to step in here.
Oh, Roger's going to give a grade. All right, go ahead, Roger.
I give that an A because that's a perfect like phone you can take across borders and not worry about anything.
Ah, fair point.
You know, it's like, oh, I'm just going to pull out the Nokia when I go through.
Yeah, the 3310 is what I take on the
go
road.
Go play Snake. Go knock yourself out.
Well, it still has a micro SD card slot, so there can still be data in there that they could access, like phone numbers.
Hey, you know what? It can if it's not filled.
Mail it to your hotel? I don't know. Yeah.
It probably has some kind of internal memory.
I'm going to swallow it.
Just phone
numbers in there. I'm going to swallow that micro SD before I go through.
There you go. Great idea.
Let's move on to Sony. Sony, really well known for image sensors these days. That's why they make their money. But they do put those image sensors in phones still. And so they announced the Xperia 5.5-inch XZ Premium and the 5.2-inch Xperia XZS. Big deal with these is HDR image support, 19-megapixel camera, IP68 dust and water resistance, front-facing stereo speakers, and the XZ Premium has a 4K screen, that hot Snapdragon 835 processor that's just out from Qualcomm, 4 gigabytes of LPDDR4X RAM, coming later in the spring, no price, because they're having a problem sourcing those chips. The XZS is a 1080p display, Snapdragon 820, that's April 5th for $700 with 64 gigabytes of storage. And one more announcement before we give the grade. The Sony Xperia Touch Projector, an Android device that can project a 1366 by 768 image at up to 80 inches on any surface. It can be on a wall. It can be on a table. And especially when it's on a table, you can use it for 10-point touch sensitivity.
10-point touch.
So you can use that image that it's projecting on your coffee table as a touchscreen. Also has Google Assistant, which all the Android devices now are getting Google Assistant. Battery only lasts an hour, so you pretty much leave this thing plugged in most of the time. Here's the kicker, 1,599 euros. Ouch.
Ooh.
Spring in Europe. What grade do you give Sony on the two Xperias and the Xperia Touch Projector?
I mean, I like the phones. I like Xperia phones. I always think they're really pretty and very well made and attractive. And the camera's always great. And they always stuff a lot of technology in there. So I would give those like probably an A-. But because the projector is so expensive, and frankly, I just think projectors like this are kind of stupid. I know people have uses for them. I get that. That's fine. The 10-point touch is actually rather cool, but the price point is just still way inaccessible for most people. So I'm going to give them a B-.
B-. Oh, okay. I would give the Xperia phones a B. They would get an A on imaging, but there's just nothing else really grabbing my attention there. I would give the touch projector an A, except really? When it comes to the price, that brings it down to an A-. So averaging that out, I guess I'm giving a B+.
So I guess we were in the B range, mm-hmm, solid, yeah. B. I give a B-, you give a B+, so they get a solid B.
All right, TCL announced the BlackBerry Key 1. TCL, like HMD is making the phones under the Nokia brand, TCL has been making phones under the BlackBerry brand. TCL announced the BlackBerry Key 1, a 4.5-inch 1620 by 1080 LCD touchscreen with a 3:2 aspect ratio and a touch-sensitive physical keyboard. So it's a narrow phone. It's got a physical keyboard. It can do keyboard shortcuts. There's a fingerprint sensor in the space bar, and it's shipping in April for $549. Keyboard, BlackBerry.
I know.
What do you give a grade for that?
I'm going to give that an A. It looks dope.
I'm torn.
Are you kidding me? This is going to make like old BlackBerry users like bananas. Look at that keyboard. It's exactly the same.
An old BlackBerry user, I would give it an A. I am not. And the weird aspect ratio and stuff and the review. Now, I'd have to put my hands on it, but the reviews say that the keyboard is actually slower than a touch keyboard, but it's still nice to have a physical keyboard. Maybe we can call Roger back in on this one, who is an old BlackBerry user. He used his BlackBerry Bold until it like fell apart.
Mm-hmm. Which it literally did. It just stopped working. I give it a B. It's part of it is that the BlackBerry's original form factor made it very easy to use with the keyboard. I don't know. This might be a little top heavy, or you're using your index fingers to hold it up as you type.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think I'm going to end up on a B with it. I still respect your A though.
I'm excited about. I like physical keyboards. I'm excited about them for other people.
The LG G6 was the LG flagship phone. That's the one with the 2:1 aspect ratio. You'll see it also expressed as 18:9. So if you're thinking 16:9 aspect ratio, which is what your HD TV has, 18:9 lets you see. Oh, it's a little bit wider. But 18:9 also, if you know fractions, reduces down to 2:1. Got a new LG interface that takes advantage of that extra screen real estate, so you can put some controls in there. You can also see two windows side by side, for instance. They had a cool camera thing where you could actually see the picture you just took while you're lining up the next picture to see if like you can improve on it, stuff like that. No price or release date announced, though. It's supposed to be coming to South Korea in a few days.
I don't have any feelings. So I guess
you're gonna mark LG complete for handing in the assignment.
Yeah, I can't. It's not making me feel anything. It looks fine. Yeah. I don't know what that comes out to as a grade.
I would give it a D if it weren't for the 18:9 aspect ratio. That brings it up to a C.
Okay.
And I'm probably being too hard on it, but I'm just not. I'm like, it's beautiful. Maybe I should give it a B just because they did a good job on design, but. Nothing. The screen aspect ratio is not enough for me. This is my grade. Okay. It's just me.
Yeah, no, you're right. Maybe you're right. I gave it a complete, yeah. So I can't really talk.
Lenovo, well, hey, this is Motorola, but Lenovo owned Motorola, announced the 5-inch Moto G5 and 5.2-inch G5 Plus Android 7 phones. They both are 1080p HD micro SD card slots. Snapdragon 625 processor in the Plus, can record 4K video. The G5 has a removable 2800 milliamp hour battery. The Plus has a sealed, so non-removable, 3000 milliamp hour battery. Both ship in March. The G5 is €199. That one's not coming to the US, though. The G5 Plus starts at $299. That one is coming to the US, but our US version will not have NFC.
They keep like making me go, ooh, and then, ugh.
Yeah. Oh, also, Lenovo's going to bring Amazon Voice Services to the Moto Z phones. That was part of their announcement. So there's going to be a module. The Moto Z has the modules. There'll be an Amazon Voice Service module.
So that's neither of these phones.
No, but that's part of the whole Motorola.
The whole package?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, a C+ then.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. I was thinking B- because they kept doing cool things like, oh, that's a 4K
that's
video. That's not bad. Oh, it's sealed in. Oh, but it's removal. Oh, it's not. And the prices. The prices moved me
price
up into
right.
B territory. The Amazon Voice Service module, I guess, just keeps it from falling. I was going to give this thing a B+, actually.
Fine. Are we just learning that I'm mean?
Well, I was a lot meaner to LG. You're a lot meaner to Motorola, so we're probably balancing out.
Okay.
Here's the student with the highest difficulty assignment, Samsung. Samsung is going to announce its new Galaxy S phone in New York on March 29th. That would usually be their big Mobile World Congress announcement, but it's not. So they came with tablets. They showed off the Galaxy Tab S3 and the Galaxy Book. Tab S3 is an Android tablet with 2048x1536 display with HDR playback. So you can show some Amazon video in HDR on there. Galaxy Book is a Windows 10 convertible, both a 10.6-inch and 12-inch model. They showed off a lot of S Pen stuff that it could do, and they've got partnerships with Adobe, and they showed Photoshop running on the 12-inch model. Samsung also showed off a new touchpad controller for the Gear VR that uses an accelerometer and gyroscope to track your hand motion, including tilt, and including a circular clickable touchpad, so very much like the Daydream. The controller also includes a trigger button along with standard home, back, and volume buttons. No price or release date on any of this.
I'm giving them a star sticker for participation.
Oh, they get an honorable mention. They get a star sticker. I'm going to give Samsung... I'm going to give them an A-.
Ooh.
And I'm definitely grading on a curve here. But
yeah, you are.
Though the Galaxy Book is a really compelling Windows 10 convertible. If anything were to bring them down, it'd be the fact that there's no price and release date. And the Gear VR is like setting the pace. So bringing in the motion tracking, the hand motion tracking, that's pretty awesome. So I think we all would have liked to see phones from them, but what they brought was pretty good.
All right.
I got to start moving along here. Huawei announced its new 5.1-inch 1080p P10 and 5.5-inch WQHD P10 Plus flagship phones. They both have really nice cameras. They both have Leica dual camera lenses. The dual camera lenses can do lots of cool tricks. They run the octa-core Kirin 960 processor, 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage, as well as a version that's 6 gigs of RAM and 128 gigs of storage for the Plus. The P10 has a 3200 milliamp hour battery. The P10 Plus, a 3750 milliamp hour battery. P10 costs 649 euros. P10 Plus starts at 699 euros. Shipping in March in parts of Europe and Asia, Australia, New Zealand. The Huawei also announced the Huawei Watch 2 and Watch 2 Classic. Those include GPS heart rate sensor, NFC, so they can do Android Pay, 1.2-inch circular display, and 12.6 millimeters thick with double the battery life of the previous watch at 2 days. Watch 2 will have a model with LTE as well as a Porsche-designed version. Pricing begins at 329 euros, coming to China, parts of Western and Central Europe in March, and then more widely in April and May.
Yeah, I'm giving this an A. I think they are like the brand to watch.
Well, you see, the watch makes you give them an A. The P10 and the P10 Plus kind of bore me.
Don't tell me why I gave them an A.
Oh, well, I'm just saying they make me want to give it A. And I think they actually just, the P10 and P10 Plus aren't bad enough to bring the watch grade down. So I'm going to give an A-.
Okay. Yeah. They're totally solid phones and they look nice and they've got sweet cameras.
I like this one, especially because what's that show with Mike Cole?
Hunted.
This is the kind of device you would see on Hunted. HP announced a Windows 10 equipped Pro X2 612 G2. Weighs 2.65 pounds, nice keyboard, good travel, lasts up to 11 hours, can be charged up to 50% within an hour. It also features MIL STD A10G spec for drop, shockproof, dustproof, humidityproof. Has an LTE modem, 512 gigabytes of removable solid state storage, 8 gigabytes of RAM, a Core i7 CPU with Intel Graphics 615, and you can pop the back off it for in-the-field service. To replace components, including that solid-state drive, bundles in a Wacom stylus, and available now, starting at $979. So all those specs aren't necessarily in the $979 version, but you can start the specs there, and a rugged case runs you $49. There's even a dock coming for it in March when you do have to be out of the field. That'll run you $149.
I want to go into the field just for this hybrid. Right? I'm giving it an A+.
A+. I think, you know what? We're both suckers for this. I'm giving it an A+ too, right? I mean, we really shouldn't. We should really try it and see if it lives up to the hype of its ruggedness.
They had me at military spec. I'm sorry.
It's really tough. And I've never actually... The ThinkPad is the closest to a tough laptop I've ever got because it was a more sensible, like those ruggedized laptops from Panasonic and stuff, they never really were as rugged as they wanted you to think. Maybe I'm just being silly by thinking this is going to be, but
I'd take it on a test run.
I like the specs.
I'd take it out into the boonies for sure.
All right. Back to Lenovo, this time for tablets and laptops. The Yoga 720 laptop line, 13 and 15 inch versions. Yoga has that 360 degree hinge. These have a 4K display, fingerprint reader, active stylus. 15 inch has an optional NVIDIA GTX 1050 in it with up to 16 gigs of RAM and 512 gigs of solid state storage. That starts at $860 coming in April. Then there's the Lenovo Tab 4 and Tab 4 Plus. Both of these come in 8 and 10 inch versions. Here's the kicker. I mean, you don't really have to hear the specs. The Tab 4 8 inch is $104. The Tab 4 Plus 10 inch is $249.
Wow.
And the other two are in between. Okay, specs wise, you know, the Tab 4 only has a Snapdragon 425 and 2 gigs of RAM. Tab 4 Plus has a Snapdragon 625, 4 gigs of RAM. Tab 4 Plus has a fingerprint reader. But man, yeah, I mean, you can get some options too. You can add LTE for a little bit more. There's a kids pack that gives you a kid friendly case, so it's a little durable, and a blue light filter. That's $20 or $25 for the Plus, or for the 10 inch, I mean. Productivity pack for the 10 inch with Bluetooth keyboard is $50. But really, I mean, $104 to $249 if you need a solid tablet. That if you don't need it to do a ton, these are pretty good.
I'm not super impressed by the Yoga, like this most recent iteration. It's fine. I am impressed by the price point on the tabs. I think that's pretty nice. So I'm going to give this a B plus.
I'm going to give it an A minus just because I've decided to be impressed by the NVIDIA GTX 1050 option on a
decided.
Yoga. Yeah. And I've always thought the Yoga idea was pretty cool with that 360-degree hinge. So.
Also, I need to learn more about this productivity pack. It sounds like it's got a Bluetooth keyboard for $50.
Yeah.
Is that a pack or is that just a keyboard? Is
well, the keyboard like automatically launches some stuff for you. Okay. And, you know, yeah, sure. It's not a Surface, but there you go. All right. Okay. Two more to grade before we're done here. And these are neither one of them going to be phones, tablets, or laptops, because there is more in mobile than just those devices. DJI announced the Matrice 200 quadcopter with IP43 waterproofing, some other weatherproofing, can hold up to 3 cameras, has enough sensors to navigate with centimeter precision, has a camera in its nose for when you're piloting. You can see where you're going from the perspective of the quadcopter. A dual gimbal for a zoom lens and thermal imaging camera, and a top-mounted gimbal that can shoot straight up, and they use bridges as an example. Like, oh, when you're inspecting your bridges, you can shoot straight up from the top. So yeah, they are really marketing this as at things like structural inspections, monitoring, like enterprise situations. Also has an ADS-B receiver so that it can detect and get out of the way of passenger aircraft. No price on this yet, but they are saying Q2 2017. What grade do you give the DJI enterprise level bridge inspector?
A plus,
because
it I already said it twice.
Because it does all the things. I know.
Because it's great.
I'm going to give it an A. I don't know if I'm going to give it an A plus because I don't know enough about the uses that this will be made of. I bet there are some folks in the audience who do. And if you could write in and tell us about that, that would be great. But it's well spec'd. Also, we don't know the price.
Oh, yeah. If it's like $10,000, that might be problematic.
Yeah. Finally, HTC announced the Vive Tracker, a device that can attach to you, like on your wrist or on your legs, or to objects so that you can see them in VR games. It'll cost $100, but it's only being given to developers starting March 27th. They said it'll be available for everybody by the end of the year. The deluxe audio strap is the second Vive accessory that HTC announced, with an adjustable sizing dial so that it's pretty comfortable, and built-in headphones, so you don't have to bring your own headphones. It'll cost $100 as well, and that one is pre-order May 2nd, shipping in June for everybody. So a couple HTC Vive accessories here.
Yeah, I'll give those a B+.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. Like, if I was maybe more into the Vive, I might be more excited about these. I'll give you that. But they do sound like good, solid accessories, maybe not essentials.
Yeah, I agree. But I do like stuff like this. I kind of wish things worked better out of the box and didn't need stuff like this. But if that's the way, we're going to have to do it. Okay.
Yeah. For now. Also, yeah, for now. Side note, LG, I think it was LG. Yeah. LG announced a Steam cooperation. They don't have many details about it. That's why I'm a little vague and I didn't put it in here. But they're going to be working with Steam on VR. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
With Valve on their Steam VR. And so Valve's not just working with HTC. That that's important to note too. Thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them. Please do at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. All right. Hope you enjoyed our report card. Let us know if you have your own grades. You can send them along to feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com. Our pick of the day comes from Nathaniel in Mushy, Southwest Washington. He's going to have to wear his wellies if it's mushy. Says, I have a lighthearted pick for today. It's a podcast called Mysterious Universe. Two Australians tackle the esoteric, fantastic, and puzzling aspects of our world with a great sense of humor, wonder, and skepticism to round things out. They cover everything from cryptozoology, lost tunnel complexes, archaeology, and, of course, aliens. Recently had a great episode about a mystery around an old BBC microcomputer in the 1980s that is sure to interest the DTNS rabble. You can have a listen at mysteriousuniverse.org. Thank you, Nathaniel. We here on Mondays are on DiamondClub.tv right after Weird Things with Andrew Main, Justin Robert Young, and Brian Brushwood, which is, this sounds like it's the Australian version of Weird Things. So if you like Weird Things, you might like Mysterious Universe too.
I am already interested. I'm in.
Cryptozoology. Mysteriousuniverse.org in case you didn't get that. Send your picks to us, folks. Feedback at DailyTechNewsShow.com. And you can find more picks at DailyTechNewsShow.com/picks. Also, another of our picks here is our sister podcast across the aisle, or brother podcast. It's Nate and Ian at Text Message.
Thanks, Tom. This week, British Vogue released a Facebook chatbot. That's odd, I thought. So I went inside Vogue to meet the guy in charge of the bot and see what I could learn. Plus, do you remember pagers, the beepers? They hit the news in the UK this week, and we not only explain why, but also look at who's still using pagers. And there's a great answer that's not the obvious medical one you might think. That's all out now on Text Message at techpodcast.uk.
You know, I keep coming up with things from this book that I'm preview reading for a friend of mine who's an author. And I keep realizing, well, I can't really say anything about it because the book's not out. But I have to at this point. There's this great scene about people using BlackBerry pagers in the early 2000s. And that reminded me of that. Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you, Nate. Go check them out. Techpodcast.uk. One more email before we're done. Tinnis, he says, pronounced teenus. The H and I is silent. There we go. I keep saying thinnis. Thank you for the correction. Tennis in Cape Town says, your WhatsApp comments got me thinking. WhatsApp in South Africa is the de facto messaging app. Its biggest appeal is the fact that you don't need a username. All you need is the app. If your contacts have it, they are already there, waiting for you to message them, making the barrier to use really low. WhatsApp is so popular that one of our smaller cellular operators zero-rated WhatsApp data to entice people to join them. Now, for the reasons why WhatsApp might not be so popular in the USA, could have to do with the iPhone and its disproportionately high usage there compared to the rest of the world. So iMessage has better traction because it comes with the iPhone, and chances are that your friends will have an iPhone too. I can only imagine that the Bay Area is a bastion of iPhone users. Anyway, thank you, as always, for the great show, Tennis. That's very
probably true.
It's a very good explanation of South Africa, for sure. But overall in the U.S., you may be right about the Bay Area. All over, Android is dominant here. I mean, iPhone has a bigger market share here than many parts of the world, but Android is still huge. And I have plenty of people that I communicate with regularly that their messages show up on as green if I'm using an iPhone, not blue, which means they're not using an iPhone. So I think it really, I don't know. That could have something to do with it, maybe. I really think it just has to do with the unlimited messaging plans.
Yeah.
Do you have, how many friends do you think you have that you text with regularly? I can think about four.
Yeah, it's probably like 20%.
Android. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the majority by a long shot, but it's close
to half and half for me.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Well, thank you, Veronica Belmont, as always, for joining us. What's going on? What do you got to tell people about?
We're going to do Sword and Laser this week. We have two episodes coming up in the near future. And in fact, we have an interview this coming Wednesday night. If you guys are a fan of The Magicians, we're going to be interviewing Brittany Curran, who plays Elliot's wife on The Magicians.
Oh, so fantastic.
Definitely check that out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. Swordandlaser.com also has a new book out in its imprint.
That's right, we do. Pilot X by Tom Merritt.
Just, you know, I don't know if you wanted to mention that as a member of Sword and
Knight. I just did.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And hey, thanks to everybody who supports this show. If you give a little value back for the value you get from the show, we certainly appreciate it. That includes Jess Christensen, Mike Norton, and Ali Sanjabi, who just raised his pledge. I guess he got a little more value. Thank you, Ali. Patreon.com/DTNS. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com. Back tomorrow with Rob DeMillo to explain venture capital to us. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Oh, good. I'm glad you thought so. Given grades, taking names. What should we call it?
Let's see, Showbot.
Mozilla Pockets Pocket. Uh-huh. Don't call it a comeback.
Mozilla Pockets Pocket. Don't call it a comeback. LG, why the long face? Uber's colonic cleaning. Go play Snake. Rogers passing SD cards. Micro SD cards, so it's a little easier to swallow. 10-point touch, pocket bought and paid for, pocketed and undisclosed sum, U3310, but will it blend? Nokia Stalgia.
How would you pronounce that?
You can't. It's a tongue twister. BlackBerry looks ripe. Tablets, ellipses, yay, question mark. Which do products make the grade? Grading and assessing Mobile World Congress. Harassment Uber allies. how the 3310 got its groove back. Samsung's tablet prescription. That's pretty funny. Porsche Android wears posh. The brand to watch.
Take giving... two tablets and call us in March. I just made that.
That's pretty funny. That's good. I don't see it. But
no, I just made that one up.
Oh.
The pocket one is funny, but it's not really like what we talked about.
No, it's not a top story.
Mobile World Congress 2017 report card.
Here,
it does what it says on the tin.
Take two tablets and call us in March. See how it does in the court of public opinion.
It's jumping up there. Oh, shit.
It's a fickle court. It's a fickle court. Didn't Judge Wapner pass away?
Yes, he did. I heard that.
Dun, dun, dun. He was the original TV judge that judged people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was not Perry Mason, but he was an actual judge. Well, he was retired. Yeah. He was a retired
judge. He was retired, and then he made a court of his court based on his experience.
Was he, did he create that show or was he?
No, but the idea behind it was, who was first court show was history conception. John Masterson devised the original camera in court concept in 75.
Okay.
Pitched it to Monty Hall. The networks weren't interested. So the guy, they put a guy named Stu Billett originally to sell it, didn't work out with the network, so he just went on his own, refined the concept into a show shot in the studio rather than in a courtroom. Because the original thing was they would actually be in the actual courtroom.
Uh-huh. Seriously. Like Cops, but for courtrooms.
Yeah. Bad judge. What you gonna do? When he sentences you.
I guess Take Two Tablets and Call Us in March was good. Because it's top of the heap.
Fun. All right. I got to get back to work.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Veronica.
Thank you. See you guys later. Thanks. You too. Bye.
Okay. 2017. Did you watch the Oscars?
Yeah, we watched it over at my friend's place.
Did you watch it all the way to the end?
I watched the final award, but I didn't see that. We left thinking that.
I was going to say, that's what I wanted to know, if you saw the
take. Yeah, we got home. It's like, what? Yeah, that seems to happen last year, didn't it? For something or no?
Not for the Oscars. No, there was the Miss Universe thing. Is that what you're thinking of?
No, there was another award. It was another award show where the wrong. Maybe it was a couple of years ago.
Golden Globe. The only one I know of is Miss Universe, where Steve Harvey read the wrong winner.
Oh, maybe it is. Maybe that's it.
Still a great night.
Actually, the best thing I loved about the Oscars, I believe it or not, is Jimmy Kimmel's shtick where he brought in that tour group.
You like that?
I loved it. That's like so taking his
show, yeah.
His show into the Oscars. Very smart.
Definitely. Definitely him taking a show. And Eileen's a big fan of his show, so she's been on Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, nice.
She went to see a recording with my nephew, and they both got sat by Jimmy while he did one of his tosses to break.
Oh, nice.
So I think we still have the recording of her.
Oh, that's so cool. It's like, yeah. On my TV.
I mean, she didn't say anything. She's just sitting there, but yeah, she's a big fan. So she loved it. And Guillermo from the show was, I don't know if you noticed, he was.
Yes. And if Ice ever did something, that would get people outraged. I mean, there's enough outrage to go around, to be honest.
Always. There always is.
But
yeah, I guess what happened is there's two PricewaterhouseCoopers people who are the only people who know the winners. They each have a set of their own cards, like a redundant set. So in case one gets misplaced or lost, you know, or damaged, they still got a second set. And they announced Best Actress and then accidentally gave Warren Beatty the second Best Actress envelope instead of the Best Picture envelope. And that's what confused him.
So they gave him the wrong...
They gave him the Best Actress envelope. He opened it up. It said Emma Stone, La La Land. He was confused why Emma Stone's name was on it. And then he handed it to Faye Dunaway to look, and she just read La La Land and said it.
I mean, I know they don't want people to see, but there has to be a way to tell sometimes.
Well, the outside of it's actually, a lot of people are criticizing the UI or the design of the cards, because the outside said, you could actually see if you zoomed in on the still, it said Best Actress, but it was yellow on a red background. And so it just kind of faded in. You didn't really notice it.
Yeah, it's bad. Bad human engineering. Human engineering. Speaking of which, oh, it's Friday. We gotta wake up early that day.
Mm-hmm. Imagineering. Oh yeah, so we should tell folks about that, and we should mention it on the show. There will be our Friday show will actually happen Saturday morning this week. We'll go ahead and put the headlines in the feed on Friday morning. But we want to talk to Lertad from Thailand and have Patrick Beja on with him. And the only way to coordinate those three time zones, the United States, France, and Thailand, is to do it early in the morning on Saturday. Well, we could have done it early in the morning on Friday, but it feels like that's so close to Thursday's show. So we decided to do it early in the morning on Saturday. So there will be a live show, and I think we may have posted in the last Patreon update about that. But if not, we'll have the details about that soon. What time is it going to be, Roger?
It's 8 our time Pacific. Okay. So I don't know how that translates into.
Yeah.
Propagates out into the.
So 11 a.m. Saturday Eastern time. And we want to talk to him because if you heard his appearance on the Phileas Club, he mentioned that people have a whole different trust system for purchases. They don't like the shopping cart version. They have a whole different way of doing e-commerce. And we want to talk to them about how it works and why they do it and why they don't. Like, we all trust a shopping cart because that's what we're used to, but they have a different way of approaching commerce, and so they have a different way of approaching e-commerce, and it's really interesting. Thailand also a place that's very mobile first.
Mobile first, mobile first. My T-Mobile first.
But if you want a little insight into how things are different online, you know, people have different attitudes online in different parts of the world, and just to see how, like, even though we all have the internet, we don't all necessarily use it the same way. I think that's what fascinates me about it.
Yes. UTC GMT.
Are you trying to do the conversion?
No, Zoe brings bacon and already did. 4 p.m. General Mean Time or Greenwich Mean Time.
Zoe brings time zone conversions as well as bacon. It's not the like.
I want Zoe to bring me not a BLT, but a club sandwich. I don't know if those
bacon and coffee. That's what makes.
I don't know if they exist outside of the continental United States. But I'm so hungry.
Why are you so hungry? Did you not have lunch?
I didn't have lunch or breakfast.
Well, you should eat something. It's not healthy.
No, but I have three whatchamacallit bars next to me, and I'm really trying to not eat those.
Don't do it, man. Don't do it. Go eat something substantial, not a candy bar.
But Snickers advertises itself as
it does not actually really satisfy you. It has not been shown in clinical studies to satisfy you. All right. Sobbo is like, I air Jimmy Kimmel Tuesday through Friday most weeks in Topeka, Kansas. When was Eileen on? I would love to find the footage. It was sometime in 2013, between like April and July sometime, but I don't remember exactly. I'll try to find it out. Okay. Well, that is it for the show. That is it for today. We will be back tomorrow with Rob DeMillo. We'll talk to you then. And giving a little extra post-show to the patrons because we didn't have hardly any pre-show because we were scrambling.
Rambling eggs.
Is there any extra message you'd like to send to them? Except thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know. Let's do a little post wrap. What has happened while we were doing the show? Let's see. Disney finally gave us a glimpse of Josh Gad singing Gaston in Beauty of the Beast. Okay. SpaceX is sending two private citizens around the moon in 2018. Two potential travelers have paid a significant deposit, and SpaceX expects health and fitness tests along with initial training to take place this year. No word on how much the travelers will pay, nor who they are yet.
Totally closed before I got the got Beatmaster's link. I'll have to ping him again.
I got it.
Oh, cool. You just
I haven't closed it yet. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you.